Tammy, the Federal Times says 104,000 feds retired last year. That's up from 84,000 in 2010. Do you think that means anything just besides the normal aging of the federal population we've talked about before?
I think it means fear. I think people are a little afeard of what's coming down the pike. And, you know, as we've seen in some of the proposed legislation, even that's now being, you know, now that Congress is back to work and all these bills are being worked on, that there is a distinct possibility that there could be some changes. And I think people are afraid of that. So they're getting out before those things might happen.
You've told me before that the question you get most at seminars is, when's the best day to retire? What do you tell people when they ask you that now?
We still talk about the same things because I try to alleviate some of the fears because I still, you know, maybe I'm Pollyanna, but I still think that some of the proposals that could change the way retirement benefits are computed will most likely, at least for the most part, not affect current employees. I'm thinking they're going to make it for people hired after, you know, 2012 or 2013. Although, you know, things could change. You know, there could be a change from the high three to the high five. And as we discussed before, that's not a major change in your benefits, not enough to make you want to retire, you know, 2 years early. So I think people just need to calm down a little bit and just try to look at things very constructively.
It's not a major change, but it seems to be the one that people get worked up about the most. Why do you think that is?
It's because I think we're just so comfortable in what we know, and we think, you know, a lot of federal employees feel that they had a contract when they came into federal service for a certain level of benefits, and they feel that that contract is being breached, when in reality there is no contract, and, you know, Congress can change the rules at any given time. But I think there is a price to pay when Congress changes the rules, and we're seeing some of that with just, you know, what's happening now and the number of people leaving.
You certainly could make a case, not you personally, one could make a case that there is a moral imperative. If you've made a promise, you want to keep the promise if at all possible. But where do you think that notion of a contract comes from, that people think that they are that they get something because of a particular reason?
Well, I think it's just whenever you're hired, you're told about your benefits and it's spelled out for you. And you think, well, if that's what I was promised, that's why I came to work for the government. Why, maybe I took a salary that wasn't as competitive as in the private sector. And, you know, I want them to live up to that promise of the wonderful benefits, because we've always, you know, known that federal employees have a very nice benefit package, but sometimes that's at the price of maybe perhaps a lower salary. That's another hot topic. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. My colleague Emily Kopp has reported on this retirement backlog at OPM to process the claims of people who are leaving government service. How are you advising people to plan around that, especially in light of what we talked about earlier? A heavier workload indicates maybe that backlog might not go away anytime soon.
That's right. So employees do have to plan on there being a waiting period, and the waiting period could be 6 months or longer for your first real check. I mean, you will get some interim checks. Sometimes those interim checks are 80%, 90%. Sometimes they're less. So, you know, the one thing employees can do is to save up their annual leave, because that's paid by the agency, and they can get that check, you know, fairly quickly after retirement. Also, it's nice to have some money in the bank before you retire so that you can tide yourself over while this is going on, because I don't see this ending. And even OPM during the Senate hearings last week said it's not going to end anytime soon. There's no quick fix to the lengthy delays.
It appears that they're making a concerted effort, but some of the things that they talked about, for example, bringing back people who have already retired who are experienced in processing these claims, you're right, those things can't happen overnight, so this is something that people should be planning ahead for. How is there a formula or a dollar figure or something like that that you recommend that people plan for?
I would say have enough to cover your expenses for 6 months, just in case it takes that long to get things going. On some occasions, I've had employees who retired and they're getting very small checks compared to what their payments are supposed to be. And the other thing employees can do, too, is prior to retirement, I'd say a year before retirement, get your affairs in order for retirement. Make sure all your personnel records are up to date. Get a retirement estimate. If you owe money to the retirement fund, find out how much it is and whether or not you're going to pay it. You know, get as much done as you can and work closely, if you can, with your benefits office. You know, there's a lot. I was just talking to a benefits specialist at the Census Bureau, and I have to throw some kudos out to them, because they're gearing up, as they do every 10 years after the biennial, for possibly some downsizing. And that also could be excavated with budget cuts, so they may have some significant downsizing. So they reviewed all their personnel, found out who is eligible to retire under this early out, provided them with summaries of their federal service. Anyone who asked for it got an estimate. So they are preparing for that. And I don't know that every agency does that good of a job.
I wonder if people wait too long, separate from the money piece of it, to start planning and preparing for retirement, collecting the information they need, planning out the whatever they have to do, paperwork and so on, with their agencies.
Well, yeah, I think a lot of people just don't know where to start. So I think a good starting place is, and this is not self-serving, but it would be to attend some type of a pre-retirement training so that you can get some information about what you need to have available, what records are important to maintain yourself, you know, what are some of the decisions you're going to have to make. So I think that's a good starting place, even 5 years before you retire.
Are you starting to see any anecdotal evidence that people are going to continue to retire in high numbers, people you're talking to at the seminars or whatever, that we might actually see the retirement tsunami that supposedly has been brewing for a decade or longer?
Well, I think it's starting. As we're seeing this increase, this kind of surge of 24% more retirements this year than last year. So I think it is happening to some extent. And with lower budgets for agencies, you know, having to cut dollars somewhere, you know, personnel costs is certainly a way to save some money. And we also have that large number of federal employees who are eligible to retire so they can make that decision. So I think it's happening, maybe not in a huge tsunami, but some waves are coming in, that's for sure.